You got your Bible this morning, we're going to be reading in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I want to say this morning we thank you to Brother Rusty, Brother Chris Pope, Miss Teresa Davis, Preston Morgan. Appreciate all of them up in the sound booth and what they've done. Good to see also Brother Chad Dean up there keeping them straight this morning. Appreciate everybody that does everything, and there are things that are done. Sometimes things that are done that maybe you take for granted. The grass does not stay that height out there, but it sure does look good, doesn't it? Appreciate those who have been cleaning the church. We've got some new folks cleaning the church here, and they're doing a good job. We appreciate that as well. And I want to thank you this morning for your continued giving to the church. The church has been very gracious in that although we've had 6 months that we've not been able to have full services, the church has continued to give, and we appreciate that because there are bills that continue on, but the church has given, and it's a blessing, and it has allowed us during these times of not having the expenses to continue to plan for the future, because let me tell you something, folks, God has a future for Hiram First Baptist Church. And God is going to do great things here if we will get out of God's way and just let it be about Him and not about us. I believe the Lord wants that. He's looking for a place to do that. And we thank you for your giving. And if you can give by going on to the website. There's a link there for giving, and you can go through PayPal and give. That's very secure. You can also send offerings to P.O. Box 524, Hiram, Georgia, and that's 30141. And we want to tell you thank you. And everything that's given will be used for the honor and glory of the Lord. This church is constituted in such a way that it belongs to God. If it's ever dissolved, every dollar will have to go to a ministry of like faith. That's people that believe what we believe, because we believe that what's here belongs to the Lord. So thank you for your giving. If you got your Bible, let's go to Luke chapter number 7. And this morning, this is something that's been on my heart this week. We sing the song, "Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me." Now, it's been a difficult time, honestly, for me for the last 6 months. I've gone through all different kinds of emotions trying to get myself in the right place and do the things that God would have me to do. And I just begin to think this week about how good, even in the midst of this, that God has blessed us and so much to be thankful for. You know, there is a sign that a lady down the hall from me at work has got hanging up on her wall, and she says on the sign, "Do not allow the things that you do not have to keep you from enjoying the things that you do." And I walk by and I read that sign and I begin to thinking about that sign, and you know, there are things, just like they sing the song, everybody's going through something. It could be a health issue, it could be something personal in your life, it could be work related. It could be related to a family or dealing with family issues. And by the way, don't worry about somebody finding out about your family. Theirs is probably worse. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, I'm embarrassed about so-and-so." And then you find out what's going on in their life, and you think, "Well, maybe it ain't that bad." Hey, we've all got it. We've all got things that we have to deal with. We've all got in-laws and outlaws. And, you know, I'm just thankful for the grace of God, because I honestly believe as I stand for you here before you today, it doesn't matter what it is, there go I, but for the grace of God. Now, if you got your Bible, we want to read about some of those different kind of people today. And we're going to start reading in Luke chapter number 7 in the 36th verse. If you read your Bible in Sunday school, this is a very familiar story. This is where a woman comes and anoints Jesus. And I want to read this context of this scripture, and then we'll try to walk through it. And I want us to be thinking about it as we go through it, about what we have to be thankful for and the blessings of God. It says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him," speaking of Jesus, "that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." And Jesus began to speak to him. He said, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water from my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiven sins also?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Now I want to go through this scripture, and you're familiar with the story. I want to look at the historical issues and the things surrounding this story. And here's what I want you to understand. This story actually happened. This is not a parable. It's not just written for you and I to have something to talk about or to preach about. I heard a story one time. It was a little boy. He walked up to his grandpa, and his grandpa evidently had said something while he was preaching. He said, "Now, Paw, he said, "was what you said today about," and he mentioned it, "was that true or was that just preaching?" Well, folks, this story is true. It's not just for preaching, okay? This is about a woman, and it's about a man named Jesus. Matters. His name means much. And it's about a Pharisee. And a little bit about a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a religious person. Very religious. Had something you could see on the outside. But as you look at the story, there was probably sometimes something missing on the inside. You know, oftentimes when Jesus is with the Pharisees, he's either got rebuking words for them or he's got a lesson. As we look at this, Jesus in the 36th verse is invited to eat at a Pharisee's house. And of course he went into that house and he sat down to eat with a Pharisee. And as he was there, there was a scripture says, a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus was in the Pharisee's house, she came with an alabaster box of ointment. Now, you and I, we hear that today, and we'd have to look it up really to understand it. But here's what I want you to understand. This woman had spent a great deal to be able to obtain and have this alabaster box of ointment. You know, sometimes, and I've heard this said, that people can generally afford the things that they want. Now, there's an element of truth to that, and I think you understand what I'm saying. And my wife reminds me of that when she wants something, and I tell her, "We got to save that money. I've got to buy some more hunting stuff." Here's what I want you to understand. This woman took money that could have possibly been used for other things, a lot of things, and she spent it for an alabaster box of ointment simply to anoint the feet of Jesus. Now, if we understand that this woman, she is a sinner, she was known in the city and she was known by the people and she was known for the things that she had done. And when she came to where Jesus was, she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she knelt down at his feet, and she washed his feet with her tears. In other words, the weeping that she had and the tears and the crying were so much that it wet the feet of Jesus, and her hair, which was probably long hair, she dried those tears. And then after she had wept on Jesus' feet and dried them with the hair of her head, she began to kiss his feet and to anoint his feet with ointment. Now, if we begin to think about this and understand it, you know, that was a great act of humility. For you and I, sometimes even to be willing to say we're sorry or surrender or to be humble, it takes something. But if we understand as we go further in this story, this woman, she'd been in a bad place. And Jesus had given her something that I wish the world could understand more about, and that's forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is something that I believe that every person needs, but not every person realizes that they need it. And what's making it so difficult to minister in the United States, which I've made this comment before, that I believe the United States is the greatest mission field in the world, not because there aren't churches here, because there are churches everywhere, but it's because people don't realize their need of a Savior. Here's Jesus in a Pharisee's house, a religious person's house, and a woman comes in who is a sinner, and she understood her need for forgiveness, but I don't think the Pharisee understood it. You see, the scripture says when the Pharisee saw it in the 39th verse, in other words, he sees this woman at Jesus' feet, and the scripture says he spake within himself. Now, here's what I know and understand and believe about God. He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what's in your heart. And the scripture says in one place that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And can I tell you, you've seen the signs. We've got one that says what happens at the lake stays at the lake. Well, God knows what goes on at the lake. God knows what goes on in Vegas. God knows what goes on in Panama City. God knows what goes on Saturday night. God knows what's in your heart and your mind. But here's some good news. He loves you anyway. You see, this man, he spake within himself saying, if this man, and he's talking about Jesus, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Can I tell you that we're all sinners? Now let's make sure we understand that. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know the song? Great song. Now, I'm not what I used to be because of what Jesus Christ did, but if I'm going to stand up here and try to set myself apart from you and say that I'm better than you or I've done something greater than you or even like this right here, I could say, well, here's my list of sins and here's your list of sins, and because mine isn't as bad as yours, I'm in better shape. No. James chapter number 5 teaches us that if you are guilty of one sin, you're guilty of them all. And if there had been one person who had been good enough to go to heaven on their own merit without the grace of God, Jesus would not have had to come. But I want you to know, every person listening this morning in this sanctuary and out there via Facebook, your sin is what took Jesus to the cross. Amen. He said if Jesus had known, if he was a prophet, he would have known. Here's what he was doing. In this instance, the Pharisee is condemning Jesus, and he's also condemning the woman at the same time. You ever seen anybody condemn God? It happens every day. They blame God for things that are happening. They blame God for the condition the world's in. Sometimes we go through things in life that are absolutely impossible for us with a finite mind to be able to understand and comprehend. And we'll never be able to know those things here. People say, well, in heaven, it'll all be understandable. Let me tell you, when we get to heaven, here's what the Bible says. He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. All the evil, all the bad is going to be left outside the gates. It's not going in. And here's what I think about heaven. It's going to be good enough when we get there. I don't even think we're going to need an explanation. We're going to be so overwhelmed by the goodness of God, by the grace of God, by the presence of God. We're going to see our loved ones. We're going to be in the perfect place of peace. But the Pharisee was missing something. You know, the greatest thing you can ever have in your life is peace with God. If you have everything the world has to offer and you don't have peace with God, what difference does it make? See, Jesus, he begins to speak to the Pharisee. And here's something I want you to understand about this story. And I really like this part of this story. Jesus calls him by name. He says, Simon. You see, here's something about ministry to understand. In dealing with ministry, if you've ever been in ministry, Sunday school teaching, working in Awana, working in Bible school, you see this. It would have been very easy for Jesus to absolutely blast at him and told him, what kind of a Christian are you? What kind of a person are you judging me and judging her and thinking that you're right when she's in better shape spiritually than you are? Sometimes that's where we get, right? We get in the flesh because we live in the flesh and we're not God, but Jesus was. Look at the way Jesus speaks to him. He says, I have somewhat to say to thee. He speaks to him with kindness when he could have been very stern. You know, I pray for that kind of wisdom. I do. I pray for it. I was talking to my youngest boy yesterday, and he was actually had fishing rods, and they were all tangled together in the lines, and I said, you don't have much patience, do you? He said, no, as he threw them down. Be careful about praying for patience, because the Bible says tribulation worketh patience. But what about praying for wisdom? Asking God to give you wisdom. Have you ever had God speak to you just to kind of let you know where you need to be? And when you get there, let's just be honest. You have to make a decision whether or not you're going to do the right thing. You don't just get it and it's automatic. You're accountable. There are times in my life and dealing with the people that I deal with at work and dealing with my wife and dealing with my children and dealing with people that I have to decide based on the movement of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Still got to put myself aside. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus begins to speak to this man, and he gives him a lesson. Now, how many times have I looked at mine and you looked at yours, and they said, why do you want me to do it? You say, because I told you so. Jesus could have simply said, I'm God, you're not. But he didn't. He gives him a lesson. And he gives them a lesson of the creditors, and there were two creditors. And you think about this. One owed 5 pence, and the other owed 50. 10 times more. And you say, you know, go back to the list of sins. Well, here's mine, and here's yours. I'm not as bad as you. Folks, if you go to heaven, you're not going because you're not as bad as somebody else. If you go to heaven, you'll go because the blood of Jesus Christ has been a payment for your sin and you've accepted it, and because the goodness and the grace and the blessings of God. Amen. Basically, the creditor, he simply forgave them both. And the question Jesus asked of the Pharisee is, which of them will love him most? Now, unfortunately, listen to the Pharisee. Here's what he says. Well, I suppose. It's hard to argue with the lessons that Jesus gives. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisee, Simon would have loved to have been able to have said something, but how are you going to argue with God? He said, well, I suppose. And then Jesus says, Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet. You gave me no kiss. You see, during these times, it was customary because they did travel wearing sandals. They didn't have what you and I've got. You know, I worked outside yesterday till I was 2 water bottles beyond where I should have went. And I came in and I had the luxury of air conditioning. I had the luxury of a shower that I could set the temperature of the water exactly where I wanted it. And at the end of the day, if I wanted another one, I could have had it. And I thought about it. And I thought about those things. And then we look here at this story, and it was customary when they traveled. They didn't have the air conditioning. They didn't have the hot shower. That when you went into a person's house after traveling, they would bring a pan of water. That's where the foot washing comes from. They would sit it down in front of the person, and they would take their feet, and they would wash their feet, and this was an act of humility, it was an act of love, and it was an act of care, and it would refresh the whole body. It was also customary, as the scripture says, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 14, the first part of the verse, it says, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. This was their custom. And here's Jesus, he's been invited into the Pharisee's house. And did the Pharisee really want to Jesus to come? Did he really love Jesus, or was he just inviting him out of responsibility? Or maybe to see what he could find out or what he could hear. You know, for you and I, our customs are different. But Jesus speaks to the Pharisee and he says, you haven't done anything to show me that you care about me. But this woman, who is a sinner, look at the things that she has done. You know, with my head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. My feet you did not wash, but this woman hath washed my feet with her tears and dried them with the hairs of her head. You see, the truth is, when this woman comes into the Pharisee's house, this woman probably made the Pharisee's skin crawl. Y'all familiar with that term? What about the people in our lives that make our skin crawl? The people who are upsetting to us, the people that bother us, and can I tell you, this world is in trouble spiritually. But can I tell you that every one of them, every one that we disagree with, every one that we're concerned about, they are loved by God. This woman, she understood what forgiveness was. I wish many more would. But Jesus says to this woman, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. You see, Jesus is the ultimate authority, and only Jesus can forgive sins. But if Jesus forgives sins, it's not for you and me to hold them anywhere. If God forgives, who am I? I'm nobody. You know, what was this woman thankful for? Think about it for just a minute. She was thankful for forgiveness. See, she was guilty. Everybody knew she was guilty. The town knew she was guilty. She even knew that she was guilty. But Jesus said, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. She was thankful for forgiveness. She was thankful for mercy. You see, the law of the day, there were certain sins that if a person was caught, they would be taken out and they would be stoned. She was thankful for grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. She was thankful for God's love, and she was thankful for a Savior. You see, well, how do you know that she was thankful for a Savior? If she didn't believe that He was Savior, she would not have believed that He could have forgiven her sins. He would have just been another man, maybe a kind man. But Jesus wasn't just a man. He was the Son of God, incarnate in the flesh, came to earth to take my place and your place on a cross and suffered on our behalf. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9 says this, "We love Him because He first loved us." Has anybody ever been, and I know Jesus has been kind to every one of us, but I want you to think about this for just a minute. How many people do you know in your life, and I know this is different this morning, but this is what God's laid on my heart this way. How many people do you know in your life that have been so kind to you and loved you and cared for you so much that you can't help but like them? There are times that my wife does things for me and I think, I can't help but love her. She says, I wish he'd do something. How about people in the church? How about people in the church that have the ministry of serving and giving? And folks, we got them right now. They're sitting right out here and they're here every Sunday and they make sure that everybody's safe when they come in these doors. You can't help but love people like that. You can't help but care for them. But think about what God's done for you. He loved us when we were unlovable. And because of how good God's been to me, I cannot help but love Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says this, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him, and herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." What does that mean? That means He sent His Son to take our place. You see, we see what this woman was thankful for, but let's go back to Simon. This woman was known for being a sinner. Simon was known for being a Pharisee. What was Simon thankful for? It'd be hard to find it, wouldn't it? If I look at this, and this is what I begin to think about this week, what am I thankful for? Folks, I've got a lot to be thankful for. I am thankful that no matter what happens on this earth, my God has not changed. I'm thankful that God has a plan and there's nothing that anybody or anything is going to do to change that. And until God is done with His church and until God is done with this church, we're going to go on, we're going to march on, and we're going to serve God. And I want you to know individually that God has a plan for your life. You know, sometimes I get concerned about people and I've talked to them often. And I know Brother Allen does. And they talk about, and I had, you know, we begin to think about and understand this. People talk about the judgment. And they talk about standing before God. And they talk about losing their salvation. I want you to remember where He put your sins. Yeah. He said He took them and put them behind His back in one place. In another place, He cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. And Simon couldn't read the sign that said no fishing. In one place it talked about He moved them as far as the east is from the west. When you get born again and saved by the grace of God, when you come before the Lord and pray, whether it's in the altar that's here at Hiram First Baptist Church or it's the altar at your home, it's the altar when you're riding down the road, it's the altar when you're sitting by yourself just talking to God, when you bring it to the throne and you lay it at the feet of Jesus, He gets rid of it. And the only thing that you and I are going to be judged for when we stand before God is He's just going to look at our works. And we're going to take those crowns and we're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Because we'll never make it into heaven if we make it by our works. You know, there are people worrying themselves to death right now, not knowing for sure if they're going to heaven or not. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm going. I know I'm going, and I'm not. And here's why I know I'm going. Because this had nothing to do with anything I've done. It's everything about what God's done. So I have a lot this morning to be thankful for. Let's look at this as we close the lessons from the creditors. Two creditors. One owed 5, the other owed 50, and he forgave them both. Now here's a very, very important word, forgiven. What have you been forgiven for? And some people say, well, my sins are not that big. Well, let me tell you something. Mine are big enough that I don't want you to know about them. And I'm so thankful that we have a God, just like he knew what Simon was thinking. He knows everything that's inside of us. But I'm so thankful that although he knows it, he loves me anyway. That means something to me. Scripture, again, James 2:10 says this, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You see, God's given us his word to guide us, to help us. And we need to remember that he's given us Jesus. That name. You know, folks, Brother Jeff's going to come sing a song. I'm going to ask him to come on. We got a lot of things going on in the country, but I'll tell you what the country needs more than anything else. It needs God. People say, well, I need my rights over here and I need my rights over there. And I want to remind you something about the Bible. The last church and the last church age is the age of Laodicea. That means civil rights. The word Laodicea literally means my rights or civil rights. We're living in the day of I want my rights. I deserve what's right. When in reality, we'll be putting everything at the feet of Jesus. This country is in the shape it's in spiritually and morally because people have walked away from God. And if people would come back to God and back to the churches and back to serving him and walking with him, the scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. And that begins when we come to the Lord. Now, I don't know what you've got to be thankful about this morning, but I have so much. As Brother Jeff sings, if you want to stand to your feet, I want to tell you this morning, the altars of this church are always open. Maybe you just want to come and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus. You'd like to know him. Maybe somebody out there listening today. I believe if you'd cry out to him and you'd speak to him, his arms are still open, his door of mercy is still open, and he still saves, he still cares, and he still forgives. And whatever you got, whatever it is, if you bring it to him this morning, he can handle it. As Brother Jeff sings, you'd like to come. Your opportunity is open.